Now, when you chose the name Valley, you didn't choose Volley or Villy. You didn't even spell Valley particularly well. Now, was this a bid for the street or what? How did that come about?
Actually, I had a manager who decided that I probably would have let him call me anything he felt like calling.
So if he'd said Villy, the gut lining, right, then you would have gone for that.
Anything.
In a recent poll, I don't know if you know this, but everybody polled in the UK knew who you were. How do you feel about that? Must be a little bit like being William the Conqueror.
It's really nice to know that people really love what you do and you've made some sort of an impact on millions and millions of people's lives.
Well, I guess when you walk out on stage, you must be putting a little bundle of thanks in the direction of every face in the auditorium.
Absolutely.
Have you ever considered thanking everyone individually in the auditorium?
You know, I think when you do say thank you,
yeah,
and if it comes from the right place, it's really felt.
It's like the audience is a carpet.
Absolutely.
And it's really felt.
Absolutely.
Now, when you sing these songs, one of the things that staggers me, I was just going through the old collection there, is that many of the songs have a staggering 90s feel to them. Big Girls Don't Cry.
Well, you know, everything has already been said.
We have a professor who said that everything had been said by 1526.
Right, and everything has been done.
Why do you think it's so true? Why is it that big girls do not particularly cry?
Well, we all know that everybody cries that has any kind of emotional...
Right.
We all cry, some of us out loud and some of us inside.
Like,
in fact, if you listen to the song and you go to the very last verse...
Yep.
It changes from Big Girls Don't Cry to Big Girls Do Cry.
So, in a way, it's like predates the whole Christie Brinkley thing by a long way.
Absolutely.
Pop and politics, there is a crossover there. I don't know if you know stuff about the train strike that was going on in this country.
A little bit.
Okay, the big union guy, we had him in for an interview a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned, quite out of the blue, a Four Seasons link-up with the strike. Can I just play you the tape?
Sure.
The main inspiration of my fight for the strike has been the music of the Four Seasons.
Came from an interview there that we did with him a couple of weeks ago. What do you think of that?
Well, we are a people's kind of group. We always have been.
Right. You're not just going for a new audience here, are you?
No, I'm not.
Now, what do you think of modern pop? I know you have strong opinions.
You know, I just happened to be walking around, and I drifted into one particular men's shop, which I refuse to tell you the name of.
Sounds like an anecdote, yep.
Well, I heard music and some rap.
Right.
That was absolutely embarrassing. I mean, if that's what it takes...
You sure wasn't the name of a suit, which sometimes sounds...
No, it had nothing to do with it. I mean, the name of the store should have been called Trash or something.
Instead of CNA.
Right.
What about the other thing that's happening with white people in this country? People like Bobby Gillespie, who's peddling this new craze for catapulting himself naked into a pile of babies on stage.
Well... We do know that we have our society has some sort of an erosion going on that's really not terrific. You know, it's certainly not the kind of music that the Queen would go to see a concert of.
Do you think Bobby Gillespie is one of the elements of the erosion?
I think he ought to grow up.
So listen, when you walk on stage, we're talking about your tour after all, how do you deal with your dreadful cheesiness when you walk on stage? I see you're being philosophical about this. I know sometimes you do sing flat. Very much reminded me of a natural horn. Is there any intention there?
Are you an expert on tonality?
There
isn't a human being on the face of this earth that would sing absolutely, positively in tune for more than a second or two.
Very Lionel Blair. But what I'm saying is, in my recording of Mozart's horn concerto, they're playing it on a natural horn, which is a flat instrument. And I wondered if what you were doing was some kind of nod in that direction.
Well, I didn't know you were a French horn.
Can I have a backstage pass?
I've had some 32 years of success.
I don't have a problem with that. If you want to be that successful, I don't mind.
I think you're a bit obnoxious.
Thanks, Wayne. Shortly after that, the publicist got on the phone. That's Nate. So the publicist phoned back, and bit Ollie's head off its stump. Twice, I think. So I kind of went into troubleshooter mode and, you know, put on some stupid name like Ron Shelf and started talking like, with an accent somewhere between Ken Bruce and California, but rather slippery, as you'll probably hear. And let me start the music. Okay, the cheese music. And I phoned back. She wasn't happy. This kind of thing.
I had Frankie Valli's tour manager...
Yep.
...on the phone to us this morning, screaming.
Screaming?
Screaming, as tour managers can do.
Right.
Saying, who was that interviewer? He was incredibly rude.
Was he making any sense?
Not after a while, no.
No.
I think that the main point that came across...
Right.
...and it went downhill after that was... the question, you always sing flat at your gigs, Frankie.
Yeah, okay, so she's not happy there. So I said Wayne wasn't happy either. And I said that he'd left the building in tears, that he normally stayed on to work well into the afternoon, but he'd gone out at lunchtime, tears streaming down his face. Frankie Valli was his hero. How dare Frankie Valli talk to him like that? And 2 minutes later, 2 minutes later, what did she say? What excuse did she offer for Frankie Valli? This.
There's one thing you have to always realise, and we realise this all the time.
Dig.
They're American.
He's American, he's American, he's American.
He's American, he's American, he's American.
Yeah. Now, this is someone who's representing her client here. Yeah, he's American. What do you expect? And then, shortly after that, I said that, you know, we were doing a programme where we had lots of presenters, lots of great presenters, Wayne and just amongst many others, and that was part of the deal of the programme. And by this stage, she'd done a total vault fast and started saying stuff like this.
You know what? You're very wise.
Thank
you. Because when we do jobs, we use different people to do different things because that way it keeps it fresh and alive.
Sure.
And I find that the joy of what we do, because sometimes it's an absolute fucking nightmare, like this morning.
Yeah, bonding,
that. Like, you understand
well,
that,
she swore
you
at me, that's bonding.
Every now and then.
So, for example, if you wanted, you know, Hank Marvin.
She's offering guests now.
Wow. Too.
You're doing him?
Yeah.
That's brilliant, okay.
And if you're interested in Hank is touring with his son Ben,
man.
And Brian Bennett and his son.
Right, big deal.
Do the Butchers and the Lawyers come to the stage now?
Yeah.
It's now serious. Second generation.
Yeah, yeah. Is his great uncle Lee.
Yeah.
You know, that's PR for him. So it was about a 5-minute conversation, beginning which she was furious and had just ripped off Ollie's head. The end of it, she was offering her next guest. These people. You could tell, you know, when they start swearing at you, know, I had a fucking terrible day. She offered me a holiday. She offered me a hot. No, she didn't.